Does it make sense? Okay. All right, let's go back to a couple of things that we need to address in the investigation, because that's what we're here for today, aren't we? We're investigating inside to reemerge or remember or realize one more time our Christ consciousness, our psi consciousness, the self, whatever we wish to call it.
That which we've always been and always eternally been through our thousand million lifetimes.
Are now, have been, and will forever only be. And if we believe in separation, we will not be able to take the step. So we have to let go of something.
Only if you want to, though.
Yeah.
You gotta really want to do it.
And what we have to let go of is our belief system, our thoughts, our feelings, our interpretations, our perceptions, our concepts, everything. Because we have to go beyond the mind. And the mind cannot go beyond itself because it deals in concepts, in words, in ideas, in perceptions. What is a perception, guys? Okay, we see something. You're seeing two silly people sitting up here talking to you about nonsense, right? I'm playing. Right? You're perceiving that, right? What does it take for you to perceive that? You have to focus on us and forget about everything else, right? You kind of peripherally see everything or perceive that it's there, but you're not paying attention to anything except the silly bodies up in front here, right? So therefore, it takes two things. The elimination of all other things and the concentration or focus on one thing, yes? This is what is required to have a perception. Now, self-realization only requires one of them. The elimination of everything. It doesn't need concentration. That's what Swami taught us. To concentrate means something else. In order to concentrate, you must focus on an object, an idea, something that has name and form. That's the only thing the mind can deal with. The mind can only deal in name and form. So in order for you to focus on something, it must be maya or illusion. So therefore, the idea is to not focus, but to be the awareness that we always are. In order to once again recognize, because that's all it is, recognize our awareness self, we usually close our eyes. When we pray, what do? We close our eyes naturally, don't we? Why? Because we're going inside, right? Because we're communicating with something that we don't have a name for or a form for or that we don't quite know how to communicate, so we close our eyes to connect, right? Why is that? Why do we do that? Why don't we just look and say, yes, God, da-da-da-da? We don't do that. I don't do it.
Instinctively, we know that we're connecting with that which has no name and form.
That's why we close our eyes. So once you understand this, you don't need to close your eyes anymore. It's not necessary. But in the beginning, it's helpful to close the eyes because it shuts out the visual perception, which we are so drawn to all the time. We are drawn to visual perception, audio perception, you know, sense perceptions. So in order to let go, that's why Swami laughs all the time. He said, it's so simple. You guys are like monkeys. You put your hand into the jar and you hold on to it. He says, just let the stupid thing go. Pull your hand out. You're free. Okay? But the monkey wants the thing, so it's caught. That's how you catch a monkey.
And we're
right?
saying, but Swami, we want liberation. Liberate your mind. Then you are liberated.
You're already liberated. Liberate your bad qualities, your anger, your judgment, your fear, your worry, your guilt, your shame, whatever it is.
Get rid of them. They don't belong. They don't exist.
They're not you. They have nothing to do with the you, with the self. Only the consciousness that is, the eternal I, the divine ego. Because there is that I always present. If you noticed, Swami said, okay, here is a quick example for you. Close your eyes and tell yourself that you do not exist. Say to yourself you don't exist. Go ahead, try. I don't exist. I don't exist. That's impossible. It's not possible. You exist. And you know you do. And it's impossible to say you don't exist because you do. So, by that fact alone, that I that knows that it exists, that is the self. But it doesn't have a name or a form. It doesn't have a like or a dislike. It doesn't have an identification of any kind. All it is pure mind, pure consciousness that is eternally self-sufficient, self-aware, pure intelligence. And it is intelligence because it illuminates, it is light. We worship God as light, do we not? It's the new God in the new age generation, God is light, right? Okay, why do we say that? What is the reason? Have we investigated? Are we digging? Are we finding out what all this stuff means? What it is? Why? How? Okay, why do we say God is light? Well, because light is the idea of God. No. What is light? Illumination, right? What is illumination? A recognition principle. Something that recognizes something. That is illumination. The illumination of the consciousness that recognizes something is the light. The light doesn't have to be a light like this or the sunlight. If you look in space, all of space that we exist in, as this world and all the other galaxies in the dream, space is dark. Space is empty. No, it's not. It's full of what? Consciousness, awareness. All the planets, all the individuals on all the planets, all the different things that are happening everywhere are part of the space. Now, what Swami showed us, like that outer space, can you imagine it? Use the mind tool right now. Imagine space. Or you can look at a picture in a book. You see the space that we've photographed through telescopes. See the immense worlds, universes, galaxies. Endless. Now, you're caught in the Maya. If you get rid of all the planets, all the stars, all the universes, what is left? Space. Empty, dark space. Yes? All right. Now, let's close our eyes. Now, imagine in the imagination that you have, the ability to create. Imagine all the stars and the planets or lights or colors, whatever you like. Imagine them in this inner space, this darkness that you see when you close your eyes. Imagine it. All the galaxies, all the space, all the lights, all the colors. And now, dissolve them. Dissolve all the colors. Dissolve all the planets. What is left? Space. Inner space. But is it empty? No, because it is full of your awareness. You are conscious of it. You are conscious of it, as it, in it, by it, through it. It is not empty, nor is it dark. It is illumined by your awareness. And it can project itself as light, or it can be dark. It doesn't make any difference. If you can stay in that empty space of that awareness, in the peace, in a harmony state, you have just touched and contacted the self, God, you, one. Because that consciousness, the outer space and the inner space, connect them. They're exactly the same. Exactly. In your mind, that inner space connected with the outer space, there is no separation, no difference. That's why we say, or the wise people say, everything is contained within us. Nothing is outside of us. This confuses even the most wise person in creation. They cannot reconcile with their mind how come this outside experience that we experience is inside of me. No, it can't be. That is the confusion. The only way that you can clear up this confusion is by realizing, by understanding that that inner awareness is the sum total, absolutely primal source consciousness that we are, have always been, and will forever be. And the moment you understand this in your deeper understanding awareness self, you can free yourself from the bondage of your limited mind concepts. Now, if everything is contained within this consciousness, it is the same as saying everything is God. But the moment that the mind creates a form or a name, it becomes duality. Because this inner space, this pure, perfect, divine, blissful self space inside is perfect and absolutely disconnected from any object, any thought, or any idea. Is it too intellectual? Is it too difficult? Or are you able to hold on to this experience? The space in the room. Let's look at this room, right? Here are all the bodies sitting in the room. You have the floor, you have the lamps, you have the ceiling, the walls, the doors, right?
What do we identify in this
room? As the room.
The four walls?
No, they're the walls.
They're not the room.
The floor? No, that's the floor. The ceiling? No, that's the ceiling. What's the room?
The space.
The space contained in the room. So if we let go of our focus on the things in the room and focus on space, let's do it a second. Just focus on the space. Everything else sort of goes into the background and we focus on the space. Now, see the space and continue it with your open eyes, with your imagination, to be the space that is inside of you, outside of you, and everywhere. We can't touch it, we can't harm it, we can't taste it, or anything.
Can't grab it.
Yet without this air or space, we don't exist. That's why everybody says without God, we do not exist. That's why it's impossible to be an atheist, because you believe in yourself. So therefore you believe in something. You cannot be an atheist. Think, investigate. See if this holds true, what we are sharing with you. We are pointing the way, but you have to do the walking. You have to dive and experience. You can do it this instant if you're bright enough. Or you can take a few times to mull it over and think about it. But don't waste time in your mind with this. Just be it. So for a few moments, let's just be. Okay? Let's just be. Let's go to that inner
quiet
being.
And every time the mind creeps up with little thoughts to disturb your silence, because right now your divine self is commanding and saying, I'm choosing quiet now.
And if it's a little difficult, you can repeat, I am. You can do that, but try it without. You can do it with eyes open or closed. Close is easier.
And when the mind disturbs you, toolbox, you're my tool now. Put it in its place.
And then use your imagination and see all of creation contained in this inner space, and then erase it.
All of creation within you.
Erase it. That's enough for the moment. Your question. Remember, in order to experience bliss, they have to be two. If you are bliss, you cannot experience it because you are it. The idea that we have of bliss is incorrect. We think of bliss as something outside of us, something that we have to get, something we have to attain or reach. No, we are bliss, but when we are it, we do not know it. Because to know it, it takes two. Like somebody that knows it and something that is known. Bliss is here. You are the knower of bliss. The moment you merge in it, you no longer know bliss. You are it. In that being, you are the bliss. And it will translate for you, to us inside, it translate as absolute serenity, absolute quiet inner being of equilibrium, equal-mindedness, equilibrium, whatever you want to call it. It is that inner balance that is absolutely still and perfect. It is when the three gunas are no longer moving, when they are perfectly even, without movement. As long as the gunas, which are the three attributes, move, right, then we have creation. The moment they stop, which is what we are just doing, they cease to exist. And so does love. So does bliss, so does any concept that we have disappears. Because in order to have the concept, you need the mind, which is automatically duality. So what we need to do is go back to the oneness, the origin, the primal source. That's what you just experienced. And it is always here, always with us, now and forever. We just focus on something else all the time. That's the difference. So now that you are aware of what we are speaking within yourself as an experience, you may not believe that it's that simple. You may say, that's it? There's no sky opening up, no Swami saying, oh, you've made it, my child,
flowers
come home.
Flowers from the heaven raining down upon you. I am enlightened. No, it just, you know the old, I think it's Buddhic or Tibetan saying.
It's a Zen Buddhist saying.
Chop wood, carry water, bitch like hell before self-realization. After realization, chop wood, carry water, and laugh like hell. You're still chopping wood and carrying water, but your attitude and your perception towards all of it is completely different.
Swami walked in the room one time. It was very playful. It was just a couple of us. And he says, realization is just one thought away. The students were there with us. And all the bright students go, what is that one thought? What's the one thought? One thought, one thought, one thought. Well, you know, everybody was like this.
And we trying to figure out this one thought.
We were sitting back and we were just looking at Swami. He's playing with us, you know. So we said, Swami,
Maya,
is what you mean the moment we have the thought of the oneness? Is that the one thought? He goes,
yes.
Yes.
The minute you are, you grab hold and, all right, when you were looking at your thumb, all right, and practicing complete silence, did you feel like you had to hold your breath? Some of you, were you like, to keep
kind
that
of
silence?
Suspended animation.
You wanted to just like stop the world, stop the mind, stop everything to keep that silence? That's what it's like, because you are stopping the world. You're stopping the Maya from controlling you. And your body automatically sort of wants to go into a suspended animation.
There's a question in the room here, and the question is, what about dreams? What are they? Why are they? And what is this? Why do we call this a dream? This is the question. This seems real to that part of us. Okay, here's something to think about, to question, to investigate. When you go to sleep at night in the body, right? We fall off, drift to sleep, and for a few moments we are totally unconscious, more or less, because we go off to sleep. Our body, we're not aware of it. I mean, it's there, right? Snoring or just sleeping, but we're not aware of the body, right? Suddenly, the dream appears. Well, who creates the dream? The mind. There are different reasons why we create it and when it gets created. The scientists are working with it and stuff, but in reality, we create the dream from our mind imagination, right? Now, in the dream, let's say I want to have my neighbor's gold ring that I saw on his finger, and I want it. So I have to steal it, right? So I create in my dream the scenario. I create a situation where my neighbor leaves, and I can go in and steal the ring. Or let's be a little bit more graphic for fun.
Oh,
if I want to kill my neighbor, right? No, let's, come on, let's deal with it. If I want to kill
You're
my neighbor.
You're envious of your neighbor because he has
I want
a beautiful
his wife.
Wife.
I want his wife, right?
Children, your wife, because your wife just left you. The bank just repoed your house.
You know, and I lost my job and I'm totally down
and
in
you're
the dumps,
totally
right?
Jealous of your neighbor.
So I want to kill him. So in my dream, I create a gun. And I use that gun in my dream to shoot the guy, right? In my dream. So I created a utility in my dream to have my desire fulfilled. We do exactly the same here, guys. So what's the difference between that dream and this dream? We create, just because something has a utility in this dream that we are called life, doesn't mean it's real. Just because it's a utility of
you,
some kind.
Swami would say, you think it, and so it shall be.
As you think it,
or
so,
it is.
And if it wasn't before,
it is now. Because you just thought it. This is how powerful your thoughts are. When Swami says, watch your thoughts, watch your words, watch your action. Yes, he wants you all to be good and not make more karma, but also because you are God. Your thoughts, your words, and your actions are all powerful.
You don't have any idea. Why do you think a sage, when he says, rain now, the rain comes? Why do you think? Because he has practiced, and he will not use those words frivolously in any way, shape, or form. He's probably silent 90% of his life in inner silence.
Dare he make more karma?
Why do you think Jesus' words in the Bible ring true to our heart? Love thy neighbor as thyself.
There's something that we remember inside.
Why? What did Jesus not say he was God? The Bible doesn't say so, but he did. If we
investigate, the Father and I are one.
What does he say? Whoever sees me sees the Father. What is that? What did he say? He says, I'm God, for Christ's sake. But he didn't say it that
and
way.
And dare he say that you are God too? They would have strung him up earlier.
And he said, you and I are brothers and sisters. We're the same. Why did he say it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter heaven? Why? Because of our attachment.
They put money before anything.
A rich man is attached to his wealth because he's afraid somebody will take it away. Or he will lose it, and then he won't have the comforts or whatever.
Attachments.
Attachment is...
I'll tell Shanti.
Yes.
When Swami asked us to play the role as parents, have babies for me. One rule only, no attachment. Well, throughout the years, vigilant practice to this day, practice this moment, practice. Because you never know. Maya will throw a curve at you, big test coming. And we give ourselves tests to see how far along we're advancing in this practice.
I mean, Janama and Kalasu may trip over the mic cords and the bodies be gone, you know. We don't know.
So, one afternoon, Shanti, the youngest, she came home with a... We had just come back from India after about a month earlier.
A couple months earlier.
And she came home, it seemed like a stomach flu. It turned out to be meningococcal meningitis. She went, lapsed into coma. And I don't know if I should make a long story short.
Yeah,
all right.
Tell the story.
I'll tell you the story. She started being delusional. Janama was in town. We live in a small little community, a little hospital. She was delusional. He happened to call when he
was in town. I
never
called home.
He never called.
But I knew I had to call home. Something was wrong.
He goes, what's going on? And at that moment, I said, we either need to take her to the doctor or a...
exorcist.
An exorcist, because she's acting possessed. And he goes, I'll be right home. By the time he was home, she lapsed into coma. So we scooped her up and rushed her off to the hospital.
Now, it's a small town, and we know everybody.
Everybody knows everybody. Shanti went to school with the doctors and the nurses' kids, and everybody knows everybody in this town. And when we brought her in, one of the nurses... identified what it was even before the doctors did.
She says, I know what this is.
Because she had seen it before. So they did a spinal.
And the clouded fluid of the spinal signifies how far along it is.
And
hers was white.
Really
bad. Completely clouded. Dead.
So what was cute about it, just before she lapsed into coma, I was holding her doing Gayatri. And the only thing she remembered that she remembered in her delusion was Gayatri. She was almost shouting and forcing Gayatri.
She explained later that she was inside, fully awake and aware, but she couldn't function the body.
Trying to make the body function.
The body wouldn't function.
So I was
except
holding
Gayatri.
Her. And so we rubbed her body with Vibhuti and said, Swami, she's your child. Just so
if you take her home, fine.
Test. This was Kala Su's test. What is real and what is false? All the doctors started crying. The nurses started crying.
I asked the doctor, who was a friend of ours, I says, I have to tell something to Kala Su. Give me a percentage.
Now, they were getting her ready. They had already started giving her antibiotics, and they were sending her off, helicoptering her to the big hospital in Boise, which
life-flighting her.
Was a two-hour drive for us. So, and there was no room in the helicopter for us.
So I asked the doctor, what do I tell Kala Su? And he says, expect her to be dead when you arrive.
By the time we get to the hospital, which is a two-hour drive, most likely she'd have had died, will have died.
There is no room for error.
And as he was saying it,
he was crying.
The nurses were crying. Even the helicopter pilot who knew Shanti and the EMT who strapped her in knew Shanti, and they were all crying. Right. So I was around all of this emotional
turmoil.
And I'm going, nothing dies. Nothing dies.
What is the truth?
But creation around me, this Maya is saying, what is wrong with you, mother? Cry. This is your baby, this is your child.
Dying.
Lament, cry, she's yours, she's dying.
She came from your body.
And it was such a fine line, that slippery slope of emotion. But you know what? I know too much. I've experienced too much. Swami has shown me the omnipresence. I know who I am. I know who Shanti is. So in that two-hour drive, Janima was just behind the wheel driving, not saying a word. He knew this was this body's test to see when Swami said, have babies for Swami, but no attachment like this. Ah, attachment. So in that 2 hours, I'm going, what is real? What I love most about Shanti is me, is part of me, and that I can never lose. By the time I got to the hospital, I had two flaming swords, and I was like,
ready to take
nothing
on the Maya.
Can die, and that is the goddamn truth. And if her body is finished,
hey, Janima, let's have a party.
So I walked into the hospital like this. The elevator door opened, and all of our friends who we had asked to meet the helicopter who live in Boise, they poured out, oh, she's dying, and it just enveloped me in this
sorrow.
Wave of emotion. All right. I took a deep breath and went, it's okay. Cry, lament. If it's meant to be, it's meant to be. If her time's, there are no accidents. If her time is up, great. If it's not, great.
She said, if you want to lament and be sorrowful, you go right ahead. He says, I will not. I know the truth.
There's a price to pay with this, and we will test ourselves. We saw the doctor, and he was upset. Even the doctor was rude because he had seen too many children die.
All of them died. No one had survived ever.
So he was like, she'll either wake up in 8 hours or she won't. We'll never wake up again. Go wait in there. So
it was
like,
nasty because his emotion, he couldn't handle it. He told us later, he said, listen, I'm so sorry, but you have to understand, I'm almost ready to quit being a doctor because I can't handle any more death from the children. I just can't. My emotion won't take it, so I apologize.
So we were in the waiting room, and our friends were in one of the corners singing bhajans and crying, doing Gayatri, singing bhajans and crying. And Janima looked over at me, and he goes, you okay? And I went, I'm fine. I'm fine. I really am. And I had to really look at myself. Was my stomach stirring? Was my emotional body rattling? I had to look and go, no.
Was there any feeling?
No. And anybody else looking at me outside would think, what a callous, woman. But
there's a better word for it. It starts with a B.
And if you would ever meet Shanti, you'd understand she's all love. She is pure love. She does what we do. She shares love and light wherever she goes.
And Swami told her to make rock and roll songs for the young people with good lyrics.
So John Moon looked at me and he goes, "How are you, Aunt?" "I'm okay. And if it's her time, great. Her karma's done. We'll have a party."
Very happy.
I can't lose Shanti.
Very happy.
What I love about her most is inside me and can never be lost. And that is the truth. And nothing dies. The bodies will all come and go, but nothing dies.
It changes, rearranges.
I fell asleep. Drifted off into a sleep. And I woke up in a dream. And I just remember being the witness. I remember seeing my shoulders, and I felt like I was just shoulders and eyes. And I was watching Swami in this dream, and he was holding little Shanti's hand and looking down at her, going, "All your karma is finished." He said, "You can come with me," and then he looked over at me, "or you could go back and help me, Mom and Dad. The choice is yours."
Now, Shanti was about 13, 14 years old at the time.
Shanti, I watched this. I was the witness of this. Shanti looked up at Swami and said, just like that, "I'll go back and help you, Mom and Dad." At that instant, the nurse comes running in going, "She's awake, she's awake, she's asking for you." I woke from this dream before I even had time to tell it to him, and we went into her room, and she was still in and out of body, looking at her thumb glowing, like wondering, "Where am I?"
Heart monitor, you know, the pink heart monitor. She goes, "E.T.?"
So Janima, the curious one, starts asking questions.
"Hey, you remember anything?"
And she goes, "Uh-huh."
So I said, "Where were you?"
And she goes, "Swami."
"Oh, did he talk to you?"
And she goes, "Uh-huh." Uh-huh. And at that moment, I went, "I was there. I was there. I witnessed it."
And I said, "What did he say?" And he said,
"Go or stay."
"Oh, you were finished down here?"
And she goes, "Uh-huh."
And I said, "What did you come back for?"
And the nurse and the doctor were there when he said that.
What a horrible man.
And their
what
look
a
was
terrible
like,
man.
"Oh, my God.
What do we have here?"
And then she said, "Help you, Mom and Swami," like that.
Oh, we said, welcome back, sweetheart.
Sucker. "Welcome back, sweetheart." And she was like, I know this very day that if I would have taken the other route and slipped down that greasy track of emotion in Maya, Swami would not have given her the choice. He would have just taken her. But because her life and mine are standing for something, and I made a choice not to be attached, it was okay if she would come or go. It would make no difference.
He gave her the choice. She doesn't quite remember anymore. And she says, "You mean I actually chose to come back here? Why did I do that?" But
now,
to make
what was cute is that before the meningitis, she straight A's and after straight A's in school.
She knew exactly
what
she was.
She knew what she wanted to do. She wanted to be a marine biologist and work with dolphins. After the meningitis, her grades were still right in the A's, but she goes, "No."
She was absolutely blank.
Blank. "I don't know. I guess I'll have to go
ask
Swami
what he wants me to do.
He wants me to do. I'll keep the grades up if he wants me to do this or that." But
and he said, "No, you do music. Play rock and roll songs for the young people with good lyrics."
I bless. So that's what she's been doing.
To make an end to this, we just came back from Guatemala. We were there for a while, and we had some teeth done. Shanti was with us, and she had her wisdom teeth pulled. So they put her out, they put an IV in because she had four wisdom teeth that needed to be pulled all at the same time. So they put her under.
When she came out of the anesthesia, she started crying. She recalled dying almost and being home. And when she opened up her eyes, it was like, "What am I doing back here?"
And nobody knew, she didn't say anything while we were at the dentist. The dentist started crying. Yeah, she was crying.
She was crying, and she was like, I'll tell you later.
He said, do you have hurt? Do you have pain?
She experienced her omnipresence, and to come back into the body, the confinement was hard.
The limitation.
But she's heard us long enough. She's understanding that the limitation is in the mind.
We make our own prison with limiting ourselves to believing that the mind is real or that our knowledge of anything is real. So we need to investigate what is real
and what is false and hold on to whatever it is with
all
of your might.
And only you can figure it out. No matter what we say, no matter what Swami says, no matter what anybody tells you in a book.
Everyone has to have your own personal experience.
You need to investigate inside.
Now, there was a time when Swami had shown me my omnipresence. I was at his feet, and I blacked out. And I experienced the oneness in everything. When I came back, I was so mad at Swami. I think for 6 months, I was angry with him because I blamed him. Why? Why did you make a you, a me, a
this, a that?
We were so
perfect.
Perfect in this oneness. Ah! And he had called me in, and I was so upset with him. And I finally got to unload. I said, and I have no one to blame except you, because in the beginning there is God.
And he says, yes, God?
Yes, right back to me. But I said, but why? Why, Swami? Why did we create this creation to begin with? Why are this? Why are that? And I was out of body, just rattling off. And he looked at me, and he got so close, almost our noses touched. And he goes, why? Why? Why what? And looked at me.
And in that what? He was saying,
I'm not
so
here.
Important?
You're not here. And that is the truth.
This is your dream.
Why what?
Of imagination.
We're not really here. We are dreaming this.
So what is the problem? What is so bloody important about
there
anything?
There is no you. There is no me.
There's only
the
God consciousness, the eternal I that is.
And have always been.
The rest is the game.
Now, a warning. I don't know anybody who, when you declare, and I'll say it, when you declare war to the mind, when you say it's time for disciplining you, you're not going to take my power, I am going to gain my power back. When you declare war with the mind will fight you tooth and nail. The mind would rather your body die than give up its power. That's the final stage.
It'll depress you to such a degree that you want to end your life.
You'll wake up in the morning going, why should I even get up in the morning? This is a dream. This is an illusion. Why should I do anything? I don't even exist. This is what it will do to you. This happened to a friend. This happened to me. It happens to everybody that I know who has walked this path. You will get into such a depression that the mind will try to trick you to take your own life in an extent or be depressed or not want to do anything, because why bother? We're not even here to begin with.
It's all illusion. It doesn't really matter. Nothing matters.
I'm here to share with you what Swami shared with us. No. To know what we know.
A responsibility comes along with it.
To know what we know and to have the power and the control over the mind, then it's your dharmic duty to get out of bed and share that love and light and uplift consciousness wherever you go to all of our other parts. This is your dharmic duty. If anything, that's the reason why you get out of bed in the morning. Now, we had a friend who, they're a family in Boise who would come and visit, and their sons would always listen to us, hear us. It got to the point where their son was going off to college, and he didn't even want to get out of bed. And his mother's calling us going, he doesn't want to get out of bed. He figures, why bother? Why do anything? I'm not here to begin with. So I said, put him on the phone, you know? So he got on the phone. He goes, well, why should I even get up? Why should I do anything? I don't exist, right? Now, this is the last ditch of the mind. It will do it. When it does it to any of you, put it back in its place. Because we told him, no, now you must get up. Go to the school. When you greet your friends, raise their consciousness. When you're walking down the hallway, touch the lockers and say, whoever touches this locker, may their hearts be open, that they are God, and may their lives be filled with joy and love. Now you know you have this power, and with this power comes a responsibility.
To think it, to speak it,
and live it. Is Swami just hanging out, doing nothing? No, he gets up every day, and in a wheelchair, he's being wheeled, uplifting consciousness wherever he goes.
And he does the same bloody thing every day.
That we can do every single day.
Yet it is never the same.
So this boy goes, okay, I guess I have to get up then. Yes, you do. Get up, go to school,
now,
and share love and light.
Let us explain why this is this way. Because some of you may think, well, why? Well, the reason is your body is already here. It's here. Now,
and when it
you,
is its time to go, it will go.
For you to interfere with it being here in any way, shape, or form makes you the doer, becomes selfish,
and
is
karma.
Pure ego. So allow it to be whatever it is. The acceptance that you are here is enough. Accept it and deal with the moment, in the moment, to the moment, by the moment, from your level of awareness, your consciousness of either believing you're the God self walking in a dream body, in a dream world, having dream experiences, or from the ego mind perception that all this is real and you better go fight for yourself because everybody else is out to get you.
Well, let me finish. Shanti, by the way, recovered 100% from the meningitis. In fact, they sent specialists in to try to figure out
what happened.
Why isn't there something wrong with her? Okay, so.
So.
Any questions about anything?
Yes.
Why, what? The what is...
In other words, close your eyes.
Do you exist?
What exists?
The truth is, your body... Did anybody ever see Star Trek, Voyager? You know their holodeck? This is a holodeck. We can feel, we can touch, we have the senses, but you know what? Push the button and it all dissolves.
Pushing the button is realizing the self. The moment you recognize the self,
there was
one more
no
time.
Swami and there was no me. It was all in my mind. This is a figment of my imagination.
We
because
created Swami.
I am God. You created us. We created you. Now, this is pure Brahma Vidya. This is...
Advaita.
The basic truths.
Now,
the bodies are going to come and go. What lasts?
Here is the difference between an ignorant person and a realized person. An ignorant person will look up at the sky and absolutely be convinced and believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, knowing full well it is so, that the sky is blue. A realized person will also look at the sky and see it blue, but know completely within himself that it is actually space, which is colorless, which has no color at all, and the blue is the reflection of the water in the air, atmosphere, or whatever it is, some kind of phenomena, an illusion. A realized being will understand the illusion and the reality.
It's like being in the desert and seeing a mirage. You could swear that there's an ocean there, but you get there and it's not there.
Like mother of pearl, right? In shells, somebody believed that that's silver. It's not silver, it's the illusion of silver, right? In the Vedas, it gives the... Yes, it will come to you. In the Vedas, it gives the example of the snake. At night, the rope coiled up looks like a snake. You shine a light on it and you know it's a snake, right? The moment that you shine the light, which in this case would be our intelligence, right? Our awareness, consciousness, shining on the mirage, we shine the light on it, we know it's a rope. But the potentiality of that rope another time for somebody else being a snake is still there. As long as we believe that the rope is real.
You are God. Your thoughts are all powerful. You can't imagine how powerful we are.
Question.
Are you saying that
The idea that we have of bliss is the illusion. The bliss itself, no. The bliss itself is what we are. But
it's our nature. It's our basic nature.
We've given a concept or an idea or an imagination to the idea of bliss. Like, for example, Ramakrishna Paramahansa, right? The sage. He used to dance in bliss down the street.
His body was riddled with cancer. He didn't identify with the body.
Now, he was not feeling any bliss. He was in it. But his body was expressing it that way. Now, when we sit here like this, perfectly in balance and in harmony with the self, that is absolute bliss. But it's not the emotion of a heightened happiness of getting a new wife, a new car, or some wonderful mirage from the Krishna or Rama body coming down in meditation saying, what do you want? I'll give you a boon. You know, that gives you a different kind of a bliss. But that's still duality, guys. The moment that you want to experience bliss or love, you must have two, which is illusion, duality. We are love. That's why it's so difficult for us to understand that we are love, because we have identified love as a certain thing, as a something. But it is everything. So then you say, you mean killing and war is love? The answer is yes. But not in the fashion that we have identified with our mind and our society understanding. What is war? We ask Swami, say, is war terrible, Swami? He says, not necessarily. And we said, why? He said, it is a wonderful platform for the people that are in this experience to show their level of consciousness. Example, if we're all at war together and we belong to the same army, right? And we go and we have to fight the enemy, whoever it is, and you're going to get shot. I see somebody aiming at you, and I jump in front of the bullet because you're my friend. You're part of me, right? As my comrade. And I take the bullet. That is the greatest sacrifice that I can make for my friend, my other part. That sacrifice will heighten my level of awareness completely. Next lifetime, I'm born, and I will instantly quest the truth. Even if before I was a total guy that drinks, smokes, womanizes, and everything else. The next life, because of that sacrifice, it will raise my level of
consciousness.
Open heart consciousness to the level that I would probably become a sannyasi or a yogi or somebody who's interested, who's searching. Swami said, by us knowing the truth, each one of us, the family that belongs to our lineage, dream lineage, all the way past and all the way in the future,
will be elevated.
By our awareness of the self, of knowing who we are, will be elevated consciously 50%. All of them, no matter where they are, who they are, what they will ever be. Just by being associated with us. So, if you understand this, we ask Swami, what is the absolute greatest service we can do for creation, Swami?
And he thought, he goes, the greatest service? And I said, yes, Swami.
Shall we build hospitals?
The greatest service. What is the greatest service we can do for all of creation, for this planet, for the world?
For creation.
And he goes, the greatest service? And his eyes sparkled. The greatest service is to know yourself as God. Then think it, speak it, and live it.
That is the greatest service. And you never have to speak a word. That's why a lot of sages, if you notice, they are a lot of times silent. Why is that?
And they may brush past you, and you'll feel a tingle, or your consciousness will automatically be elevated just by their vibration.
Why do you think they're silent? Not like these two loud mouths out here. They're silent because in the silence, the space is communicated. The self is communicated completely and perfectly. So if you hang out in that silence, you will adopt that silence. There doesn't need to be any words, no explanation necessary. Because by the association, by the vibration, your vibration will start to harmonize with it and you will find yourself in it. That's why many people that go to Swami with a long list of what they want or what they want to ask, they absolutely have an empty mind. They go, ah.
He empties them. There's no need. When you're in that vibration, you think, I don't need anything. I don't want anything.
You're
because
empty.
You're feeling the fullness.
That's why. So when he says, what do you want? You, Swami. Okay.
He just reminds us of who we are.
Is it making sense, guys? This is what you need to question. You need to see, does it ring true? Does it make sense? Is it viable?
Is this not Swami's final message to all of us?
Yes. Keeps good satsang.
Were you here earlier? Okay. Just start a habit with something. Anything.
What is a habit? Something that you repeat over and over again. And when you repeat it over and over again, comes what? An addiction. Let's go to
what
that.
What do you do for a living?
Financing.
So what do you deal in? What are you touching?
Papers?
What are you dealing with?
Computer.
People. Money. Money. Do you touch money? That's a good conduit.
Papers.
Papers, okay. At work, you turn your work into your meditation by just, while you're touching the papers, touching the financing, touching the money, whatever it is, infuse it.
Only takes
just
a second.
Just have the faith that Swami didn't lie to you and say you were God. Just, he was bullying you. He's telling you the truth. You are God. So utilize that power.
Now, after a while.
And infuse everything with a beautiful energy that will open hearts to this same truth that Swami has shown you.
Now, if you do it in the beginning, you use your mind and you use words. After a while, the words will disappear, the mind will disappear, and it will be automatic.
Natural. You'll touch the paper.
It'll just be.
The flow will happen. The energy will be there.
Because you are now that energy.
Now, if I touch anything or do anything, it's just what I would repeat in my mind, may all beings, whoever touches this, may their hearts be open to the truth that they are God, have always been God, and may their lives be filled with joy, love, and laughter, and so it is. Now it's just a just because of the practice.
It's just a simple energy transference, which, again, is a lie. But in this dream, and you're asking about how to conduct ourselves in this dream and how to remember it, you are now aware of it, so you will remember.
Brushing your teeth. First, you do in the morning when you're stretching, when you're brushing your teeth. May all beings and all. Do an invocation. Think of yourself as divine consciousness and use your thoughts to uplift consciousness with anything.
That's one method. Another method is to dedicate everything to God and be the instrument and know you exist.
These are your hands, God.
Another way is to utilize the time that you have free to control the mind, whether it is with a thumb or whether it is questioning who am I in the mind.
Another very important one that I found important for me, you may not, but I found that our words, as much as our thoughts, our words are all powerful. So if I say, oh, I'm not feeling well, or this, or I, or my children, I separate to put truth and lie, separate what is real and what is false.
In the beginning,
the body's children. I mean, we still do it. Just
but we do it as an example. As we don't need to do it. I can say I, believing the
and I can say
complete divine
our
I,
kids,
you know?
But I don't identify as ours.
So we are doing it as an example.
But because your words are all powerful, if you keep saying my children, my wife, my car, my business,
and
my
you identify
this, my
as
that,
the personality, self, body, mind, ego.
Because your words are all powerful. He said so, and so did all the saints and sages, and they didn't get money for telling us this, okay?
And Sham brought up the same question we were walking across.
Then you are automatically splitting what is true and what is false.
And you can do that within yourself. You don't have to do it on the outside. Like Sham was saying, you know, in the world outside, you guys look foolish. I mean, he didn't say it that way, but I'm saying it that way.
We are.
By always talking in the third person, right? I said, I don't give a flying hoot. I don't care what it looks like. It's the example for us. I don't have to do it. I can say I for the rest of my life, knowing only the omnipresent I as that I, but for the experience.
To make it integrated, a part of you, you must watch the words.
And our words have controlled everything that we think and do. Think about it. Every time you use words, why do you think Swami plays with words like he does? Like disease,
dis-ease.
Or many other words that he uses, right? He plays with words. Why? Because words are powerful.
Very meaningful.
If you really understand the words, you will start using them discriminately. Let's go to anger, frustration, marriage,
would you like to go
relationship.
There?
Would you like to go there? Okay. All
did I tell you today how beautiful you are and how much I love you?
No, but you just did, and the same to you, sweetheart.
I try to make a habit of saying that to him every single day, because tomorrow may not exist.
It doesn't exist. Only now does. Mm-hmm. Swami explained to us, in this moment, right here, right now, is the only time that you can interact with creation. There is no other time when you can. Tomorrow doesn't exist, you can't interact with it. Yesterday is gone, you can't interact with it. But right now you can. So right now is the only time that exists, the moment. And he said, this moment is eternity.
If he walks out the door to go to the market, give me a kiss. Might be the last time I kiss him.
There are three kinds of relationships in this world. Three different types. There's probably more, but we'll break them down to make it simple. Three kinds. One kind, one night stands. Two parts get together to take from each other what they want and then go apart, which is a lover's one night stand, a business one night business affair or one business deal or so on, right? In anything. Second kind is a give and take relationship where both parties give and take, you know, depending on the give and take. If the give and take is equal, that relationship can last a lifetime, okay? But if it becomes unequal, somebody takes more than the other is willing to give, war, okay? Divorce, war, anger, fights, so on, right? Because it's power, it's a struggle for power, for control. The third kind of relationship, when you are complete unto yourself.
You need nothing.
Want nothing, expect nothing, require nothing. Because you are complete in the understanding of the self.
And you're fortunate enough to find somebody else who is the same way.
Then both of you can only give to the relationship. That is heaven on earth. When both parties only give, they need nothing in return.
Or they're only loving the God within each. Not the personality, not the ego, not the emotion, but the God within each.
And expect nothing in return for anything, ever.
And that's not easy. It's
because
constant adjustment.
Life is constant adjustment. Swami said, he was very playful. He said, okay, if you don't adjust, you get brittle, old, and you die. If you adjust, you can stay young forever. And young doesn't mean that the body won't age a little bit. That's all right. But you will always be the child.
Inside.
You will always know the truth and be laughing through this creation. He said, this creation is here to give you pleasure because it is our nature to be pleased, to be blissful, to be happy. It's not here to create pain and sorrow and suffering. You create that by your attachment, by your desire. He said, any problem that you will ever encounter in your life, he says, I'll make it really simple for you, really simple. You don't, you know, like psychiatry always tries to trace it back to something. He says, I'll make it really easy. This is always the end result of anything that you will ever find in any problem. Some attachment or some desire.
Unfulfilled desire.
This creates fear, worry, shame, guilt, and all the rest of it. But it is always some attachment or some desire. Know this right now. So whatever problem you think there is, look at those two things and you will understand what it is and you can let it go. The moment that you want something from your wife because you know you're right, or from your husband because you know you're right, let it go. You're wrong, even if you're right. Why? Because it really doesn't matter. Because tomorrow it may not be right. So you really don't know. So say right now, I know nothing.
And I'd rather be loving you than arguing with you. And that's the truth.
Put love in first place, above all other things. Then why do you need to argue?
And that means you guys too, okay?
Means everybody.
It's easier for women to do this, but male ego sometimes, no, I'm right. Now choose. Would you rather be right and sleeping on the couch?
Or in the doghouse?
Okay.
How difficult is it to say, wow, yeah, sweetheart, I can understand where you're coming from. Okay, no problem. Doesn't mean you have to be wrong. Or if she's in really good PMS, you can't talk to her. Reason doesn't work, right? So you just go, yes, sweetheart, whatever you say, you're right. Yes. You're right. You're right.
It works. It works. Try it.
And then after a while, she says, I'm sorry. I know I wasn't
I'm
really
sorry. It
right.
wasn't me. It was the body. I love you. The body's just,
It was the demoness. It was Sukala.
And if it happens...
Kala Su, reverse Sukala.
And if this happens, be aware, ladies, if you lose it, the body, yes, the body goes through its adjustments, its changes. When this happens, warn the kids, warn the husband. Say, you know what? I love you. It's not me. The body's going through something. Just give the body some space. Everyone goes, oh, okay.
Okay,
they'll identify
no problem.
What it is and love you the more for it.
And we can laugh about it. That's
because
what she did.
It isn't you.
She did it to the kids when she goes, and she sees kids, it's not
it's
me.
It's not me.
It's
not me.
It's Sukala over
it's,
there.
It's
you know?
The body. Just
it's the body.
Leave it alone for a while. So,
yeah. And the kids say,
I'm leaving it alone
okay,
for
Mom.
A while.
Yeah, Mom's at it again. All right, fine.
Then everybody could get a good laugh out of it and not get
and
angry.
And she laughed too. So it makes it not so serious. We are
or
so
important.
We are so serious, guys, about nothing. About nothing.
About what? Why? What?
Everything. Nothing. So Swami said, the best thing you can possibly do for yourself, stop with the mantra, stop with the stuff. He says, just say, I'm God. Keep saying it. I'm God, I'm God, I'm not different from God. He says, I'm telling you all to do this. It's much better than anything else. Or just repeat the name of God, or do this, or do that. And he gives different forms. So here's a song that came from it a long time ago. Let's all sing it. I am God.
I got one. I am Sai,
Satchisai.
I am not different from Sai. I am Sai,
Satchisai.
I am not different from Sai.
I am Sai, I am Sai.
I am not different from Sai.
I am Sai, I am Sai.
Anybody else have one?
Christ, I am not
different. Christ.
It's Christ's name.
I am Christ.
Jesus Christ. I am not different from Christ. I am Christ consciousness.
Jesus Christ.
I am not different from Christ.
I am Christ.
I am Christ.
I am not different from Christ.
I am Christ.
I am Christ. I am not different from Christ.
Love.
I am love. I am love. I am not different from love. I am love. I am love.
I am not different from love.
I am love. I am love. I am not different from love.
I am love.
I am love. I am not different from love.
different from bliss. I am bliss.
Perfect bliss.
I am not different than this.
I am bliss.
I am bliss. I am not different from this.
I am bliss.
I am bliss. I am not different from this.
I am I.
I am I. I am not different from I. I am I.
Divine I.
Am I.
I am not different from I.
I am I.
Divine I.
I am not different from I.
I am I.
I am I. I am, I got one.
Different from I.
I am no thing.
I am nothing.
Nothing. I am nothing.
I am not different
from nothing. I am nothing.
No thing.
I am no thing.
I am not different from nothing.
I am no thing.
I am no thing.
I am not different from nothing.
I am no thing.
I am no thing. I am not different from nothing.
I am all. I am all.
I am all.
I am not different from all.
I am all.
I am all.
I am not different from all.
I am all.
I am all.
I am not different from all.
I am all.
I am all.
I am not different from all.
I am self.
Divine self.
I am not different from self.
I am self.
Divine self.
I am not different from self.
I am self. Divine self.
I am not different from self.
I am self.
Divine self.
I am not different from self.